Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go on a fast. Forever. This is Wretched Radio. No, I'm not talking about following the pericopes of the Protestants or the Roman Catholic Church during the Lenten season when fasting is encouraged. No, siree, Bob. But perhaps I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a very good reason for us to fast forever from internet gossip. That's right. It is the vehicle that can be used for much good, but it can also be used for much sinning. We love gossip, and the Bible identifies it as one of the nastiest sins. You want to trash a church? Gossip. You want to ruin your relationship? Gossip. You want to destroy your family? Gossip. Tale-bearing is so destructive that actually Paul warns about 2 strikes for the factious man, and you are out of here. Why? Because it is so corrupting. It is so bad, and the internet is so full of it. And maybe, just maybe, we have a story before us that will encourage us to maybe rethink what it is that we're consuming, what it is that we're commenting on when it comes to evangelical, we'll call them stories. Please note, there are times when it is appropriate to talk about different evangelical events publicly. We have codified those rules about actually 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago, we actually wrote down our rules of discernment that we try to adhere to. Now, it doesn't mean that any public talk about somebody's behavior is unwarranted. Jesus did that. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, sometimes in their presence, right to their face, other times when they weren't there. Warning, look out for that leaven, their blind guides. Be careful. So we know that we can do that, but these days we have so many opportunities to do that. And maybe, just maybe, courtesy of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, it's time to reassess and think about our own participation in social media commenting and what can only be described as Christian gossip. We love it, don't we? Oh, our ears just, they tickle. Oh, we love the gossip. That's why Entertainment Tonight is going on, what, 40 years? Inside Edition, I think it's still running. Whatever these different talk, where we sit around and we talk about celebrity gossip. Aren't we better than that? Shouldn't we have some sort of discretion, a funnel that we use, some sort of filter that keeps us from talking about everything? For instance, if you go to Christian social media right now, no question about it, you're going to see a story about a high-profile prosperity preacher who, I believe, the state of Oklahoma is bringing him up on 5 charges of sexual escapades with children. Okay. Forget that guy just for a second. Sexual escapades with children, abominable, horrid. Let's return to the dude accused of doing that. He's accused. Has he done it? I don't know. I don't know until it's adjudicated. I don't know until a trial happens. I'm not the evangelical Supreme Court. I do not get to know the inside scoop on these things. And so I simply have to wait. Is there something inside of me that says, yep, see that? There you go. Prosperity preacher. There he is. Yep, you can count on that. Yeah, there's something inside of all of us that feel that. And yet, a rule of discernment would tell me, I can't. I can't. As abhorrent as that activity is, and believe me, if he's found guilty of it, we may or may not talk about it if we believe that we can have something edifying to add to the conversation. But I would be totally on board denouncing that. Of course we would. But until it's determined definitively, I fear that I would be engaged in gossip as much as I might like to talk about it. I can't. as wicked as this guy might be, he's got a family too. He's got a wife and kids. And they, if he did something really bad, however many years ago, they didn't do it. So we see these stories and there's something inside of us that says, let's get them, boys. And I would like to suggest to you, courtesy of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, it's time for us to rethink it. After 5 months of silence, he has finally posted on the X machine an apology. I'm going to read it for the most part without comment. Why? Because I'm going to take it at face value. There's an opportunity to pick apart anything, isn't there? I could go back and pick apart the Gettysburg Address. Hey, why didn't he mention shackles? Well, of course, you could critique it, but if you look at it on its face value, it's like magnificent speech. Listen to this apology, and I think we just take it at face value without nitpicking it to pieces. Which, by the way, that is something we need to guard against, and it's on the top of my mind because, well, I'm preaching about it this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. That is a mark of a Pharisee. We're nitpickers. Dill, mint, cumin. The little tiny stuff, making sure that we're doing a little tiny and we're kind of missing the big stuff. But a mark of a Pharisee is one who just hoofta gets into the minutia of things, not for the sake of edification or correction, but for the sake of demolition and for standing above it. We need to guard against that. Here's the letter from Dr. Stephen Lawson. It is with a shattered heart that I write this letter. I've sinned grievously against the Lord, my wife, my family, and against countless numbers of you by having a sinful relationship with a woman, not my wife. I am deeply broken that I have betrayed and deceived my wife, devastated my children, and brought shame to the name of Christ, reproach upon his church, and harm to many ministries. You may wonder why I've been silent and largely invisible since the news of my sin became known. I've needed the time to search my own soul to determine that my repentance is real. Well, that seems really wise, doesn't it? And if maybe you were like, we got to hear from him now. Well, there was stuff going on. And he, as you're going to hear, was doing things. I've needed the time to search my soul to determine that my repentance is real. I alone am responsible for my sin. I have confessed my sin to the Lord, my wife, and my family, and repented of it. I have spent the past months searching my heart to discover the roots of my sin and mortifying them by the grace of God. I hate my sin, weep over my sin, and have turned from it. My sin carries enormous consequences, and I will be living with those for the rest of my life. Yep, he will. Over the years, many have looked to me for spiritual guidance, and I have failed you. I beg for your forgiveness. I've been undergoing extensive counseling for the last 5 months to face the hard questions I need to address. I have dealt with sin issues that have been painfully exposed in my heart. I have submitted myself in weekly accountability to two pastors, to the elders of a local congregation who have shepherded my soul. I am also under the oversight of an accountability team who monitor my progress and give me wise counsel in the decisions I have to make. I am growing in grace, reading and absorbing the Word of God, putting it into practice, praying and meeting with other believers. I am involved in the life of the church, attending and participating in prayer meetings, Sunday school, the worship service, and taking communion weekly. I am being fed the Word in the mid-weekly Bible study. Please pray for my spiritual growth into Christ's likeness as I follow Him moment by moment during this recovery season. I'm grateful for the unmerited grace of God in the gospel to extend His full forgiveness to me. And again, I ask for your forgiveness as well. While I continue to do the hard work of soul-searching repentance, I do not intend to make further public comments for the foreseeable future. And we don't need them, do we? Please pray for the Lord's mercy and grace as I seek to make right the deeply wrong sins I have committed against my wife and family, and that in His time, and in His way, He will bring about redemption and restoration in our marriage for His glory. Stephen Lawson, 3:56 p.m., March 12, 2025. Jimmy?
Yes?
Because I don't know how to do this. You went out to just wherever in the social media sphere to look for people's comments on the letter.
Correct.
And give them a grade. How have the comments been in response to this apology?
So I think I would say 85% are positive.
That's good.
I think so.
That's good.
I think we should be hopeful here. I mean, as Christians, we should be hopeful. you know, you're going to have the ones that are that question the validity of the repentance. I think I'd be careful with that.
Well, sure, because I don't know his heart.
That's right.
I have to trust. That is a word, by the way. When somebody apologizes to you, you accept it.
Yep.
Because you don't know their heart. You just don't know. And even if their heart is rotten, it doesn't matter. You still are called to accept it.
Jesus says, if they return to you seven times and repent, forgive them all seven.
70 times
yep.
seven.
Something like that.
Hold on a second. That's a lot of times.
Yeah,
I did the math on that. But all right.
I think the one comment that sums everything up for me is from Samuel Say.
Oh.
The world will only remember a fallen pastor's sin, but heaven will only remember his repentance.
Shouldn't we be rejoicing?
Mm-hmm.
And really, shouldn't we be praying just for, we would for any brother or sister that a family would be restored? Then that home was shattered. And we can't be using it for the sake of self-satisfying, ear-tickling, gossipy tale-bearing. We should be rejoicing when a sinner repents. Perhaps it's time for a fast. This is Wretched Radio.
Someone you love is grieving. You want to help, but what do you say? This Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, it's a Fortis Institute webinar with Fortis Institute fellow Tim Challies. Because mourning those who mourn isn't just about showing up. It's about knowing how to bring real biblical comfort in the hardest moments. When do you speak? When do you stay silent? How do you pray with someone in deep sorrow? How do you remind them of God's goodness without sounding dismissive? Grief is not a problem to fix. It's a burden to bear. Jesus wept, Paul encouraged, and the church carries one another. Are you prepared? If not, join us this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for a free Fortis Institute webinar, Comforting Those Who Mourn. You can register now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. That's fortisinstitute.org/webinar. Because at some point, someone in your life will need you.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
See you tonight. This is Wretched Radio, a free Fortis Institute webinar led by Jason Allen, the director of our Fortis Fellows program here at the Institute, and featuring Fortis Fellow Tim Challies and a couple of his buddies to talk about grief. Deep, profound, life-altering grief. You're not going to escape it. Perhaps you haven't already. And you would like to hear some godly biblical wisdom about how to cope, how to grow, even as your heart is broken, how to see the Lord reassemble the pieces, how to understand what God is doing with very, very hard things, and to learn how to comfort those who are going through something similar. You know somebody, Mrs. Friel and I were talking about this last night, the number of people that we know that are just there. And by the way, we're not alone, by the way. Have we ever had dinner? I could share with you the struggles in our lives. Nobody is beyond, nobody. Whether it's a health thing, something as moderate as this, that just won't go away. When is this going to go away, Jimmy?
I don't know.
I'm done feeling sick. I feel fine. When is this upper respiratory thing going to end? That's modest compared to some people. Some people are living with things that are so hard. And isn't that interesting to consider too, and maybe helpful in putting the best construction on something? There's somebody at your church who's particularly dour. No, they're downright crabby. And maybe you've even talked about them, or you avoid them in the hallway because, whew, who wants to be around that black cloud? Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's a health issue. Health issues, oof. It's funny how the Lord has just given me a little glimpse into, no, I didn't get a word, a little glimpse into what it is like to have a medical issue. I don't know if you recall this, probably not, because it's quite insignificant. I think a couple of years ago, I was at the gym. You probably noticed I spend some time there, walking around, looking at my phone mostly. But I was at the gym. I lay down on the bench, and my world went Willy Wonka, man. I was swirling. I was like, I think they swirled in Willy Wonka. Just, it was vertigo for like a second. It's nasty. I had no idea. It's nasty. It's like, hello. I can't even, I'm like holding on. So I sit up and I'm like holding onto the bench like I'm riding a surfboard. That was this just teeny tiny amount. Do I have a new appreciation for people who have vertigo? I do. This lower back thing. Boy, that was a season that I've gone through, and it's still a little twingy. But it dawned on me. I had to stop and ask myself the question: is it making me crabby in any way, shape, or form? Is it altering my personality? Because ongoing pain can do just that, can it? It just, you don't even know it. You don't feel what the pain is doing to you. You feel the pain, but you don't know that it's just that the constant nagging, throbbing, aching, whatever it is. It just kind of drains the life out of you. Maybe that's why that person at church is crabby. And I got nothing to complain about. Like one time spinning on a bench, a lower back thing that's almost got itself worked out, courtesy of a chiropractor. I got nothing. Some people are so deep into struggles. And maybe, just maybe, remembering that allows us to have a little grace with those people. Perhaps Krabby Pants has suffered a loss. Here's one we do not talk about enough. This is, in fact, the free webinar that we're doing tonight. Just go to the YouTube machine. You'll find it. Go to fortisplus.org. You'll find it there. You can stream it there at fortisplus.org. It's all free. Doesn't matter what platform you use. Even that, it's all parents who've lost kids. But I've received emails from people saying, it would be nice if on occasion we heard about seniors who have lost their spouses after 40, 50, 60 years. And that is absolutely right. that. I'm telling you, I remember it wasn't that long ago. Do you remember the story of the couple who died in the storm in Virginia? The tree fell on their house and they were in bed holding hands and they died together. Yeah, I'll take one of those, please. Because, okay, now maybe this is wrong. Maybe this is wrong. Mrs. Friel will go run an errand and I'll text her like 5 minutes after she leaves.
What are you doing? Where are you at now? What's going on?
I remember just a couple of weeks ago how out of sorts you were when she took a day off.
I know it. And she is today too.
No.
And I'm feeling a little wiggy if you don't mind me saying so. Losing a spouse after so many years. And by the way, if I could, as an excursus, if you're a young person, I wish that there was some sort of a pill, because we like pills, don't we? Some sort of a pill to give to you to help you understand and feel profound things that can only be described. Jimmy, how many years have you been married now? It's over 5, right?
Yeah, over 20.
Over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When you celebrated your 20th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and just maybe spent some time with Mrs. Hicks, just thinking about stuff, did you get any feelings from that?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Can you describe those feelings?
No.
No, you really can't.
Mm-mm.
But it's not vain or pride-filled. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's the one that sticks out in my mind. I'm sorry to be too autobiographical. Try to avoid that as a rule. Nevertheless, I remember when Mrs. Friel and I were engaged.
You know, the dreamy stage. Oh, we're going to grow old together. And oh, it's going to be so romantic the entire time.
Well, we have. And it is more profound than I could have possibly imagined at that time. Am I nuts about the aches and the pain? No. But wow. Doing life with another human being. And praise God, one in my life who's so godly. There's nothing that can recreate that. Those are bigger sensations, feelings, and things that will form and shape you than a video game, than going out with your buddies, spending a lot of time in athletics, and drinking for sure, doing drugs, whatever, sex, whatever. None of those. They're just nothing. These are the big things. Search for them, seek them, and grow toward them. You'll be glad you did. There are bigger things in life that simply cannot have a price tag affixed to it because they're priceless. Tim Challies will be speaking about deep and profound grief tonight, free webinar. And as long as we're talking about Fortis Fellows, how's about Greg Gifford?
The book is finally here, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can find it at fortisinstitute.org/lies. And the lies that our therapists have told us, they're expansive. There are many, and I'm attempting to expose them in this book. One of the lies is that addictions, think of drug abuse, substance abuse, sexual sins, addictions are diseases. The lie of addiction as a disease is something that's permeated our culture. We almost just assume that you have a body issue when you're struggling with substances or you're struggling with alcohol. We just assume like there's something off about your body. Or you look at someone entrenched in sin. Think of a homeless person in the downtown streets of LA and they're zonked out on some type of drug or they're somewhat out of their mind, to use that biblical idiom. And we just think like, I don't know what it is, but they have a brain disease. That's a lie that the secular therapeutic has perpetuated. The addiction as disease model doesn't have causative support, meaning we cannot prove it started in your brain. If we could, then we would do brain scans as a child and say, hey, look, you're going to be tempted toward addiction. We can't do that. We don't understand the plasticity of the brain. I'm not a neuroscientist, and I'm not trying to be one. I'd rather spend my time in the Bible. But even a neuroscientist will say, yeah, the brain changes, and it heals, and it grows. Where does the Bible say your thoughts begin? Let's cut this straight. Where does the Bible say your thoughts begin? In your heart or in your mind, your immaterial mind? Where did you choose, first of all, where did you choose to go to a drug dealer, or how did you do that? From your inner person. Your brain does not make you call your drug dealer.
That is the line du jour. It's also the line of the day. Your brain doesn't make you call. It doesn't make you put a bong to your mouth, which is how I think the bongs work. It doesn't make you put a needle in your arm or go to the liquor store and buy a 12-pack for the night. Instead, it proceeds from the heart. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, Setting the Record Straight Biblically. You can get your advanced copy now, and I encourage you to do it now. Please, if you would, if you're going to get it, would you consider getting it now? Lies My Therapist Told Me, fortisinstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.